can get out of here as soon as he's done.
Put that in the middle there.
Thank you.
I'll put it by Bob.
Okay.
So we can hear him.
This is to reconvene the Joint City Council and a bicycle/pedestrian work session. And we're now ready to hear Bob Gaiswood give us a report on the pool bond and anything else.
See what like. Still,
I didn't know if it's still a little bit over. No, I mean, I'm not going to fan up a little longer.
Fan should just still turn off though.
Yeah, that was a little bit blinding there.
Yeah.
Had a third-degree treatment.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Press is gone. And
yes. And you can speak freely.
No, yeah. You didn't.
And give you the real information now, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, we're in the final stages of closing. We should be getting any time the closing documents for Spencer's signature. And the actual closing will take place on this Thursday at around 9 a.m. The bids were opened this past Thursday, and we received four bids. There was the winning bid that came through was from Janny Montgomery. I don't know any details about the outfit, but it's an investment house, and they're interested in municipal debt, so they can offer that to fixed income people a lot and come in and buy those securities from an investment house. They added to their mutual fund portfolios to average out their income. So what they'll actually do with the bonds when they sell, that's something that will be in their area. What was attractive about this particular issue was that it was bid with a $308,000 premium.
Okay.
That means then that the city would get its base $7.9 million bond issue proceeds less the cost of the sale, which they'll be right in about a neighborhood just under $76,000 in total cost between the bond counsel, financial advisor, the bond rating company, which is Standard & Poor's. And there are a few other firms in there that are getting a share of the proceeds from the cost. So that'll come in just under $76,000. With the total amount of proceeds on that bond issue with the calculated premium will be $8,282,000 rounded. Just under that figure. The net proceeds that the city will receive will be in the neighborhood of $8.2 million.
Okay.
And we've received a $790,000 good faith deposit at this point. So the balance of the funds will have wired into our bank account effective Thursday morning, and they should be there by 9 a.m. in the morning, we're told.
Wow.
Okay. Bob, what was the percentage?
The average percentage of the issue is just a hair over 3.42%. The coupons range from 2% to 4%. That's basically what it amounts to. The second highest bid had an average interest yield of 3.5251, slightly higher. And so that's, and their average coupons, let's see, let me make sure I get it right. Yeah, their average, their average coupons went from, started out on a small amount the way they were bidding the issue from 0.5% through 4%, but their adjusted cost factors and the percentages were higher based upon the years that the numbers, the percentages were in there. And then they submitted a $91,000 premium. So then when all the costs were allocated around and moved, then the Janney Montgomery had the lowest bid because of the net cheapest interest rate over time for the city. So you back out the premium, back off the total interest, and that was part of the computation. Although over the 20-year bond, the city actually would pay a greater interest rate, but the premium brings it down. Now,
what is the premium?
The premium is where the bidders are attempting to average out their cost to their investors. And so they'll bid a premium to give the city extra money, so to speak, to offset the interest rates that they're actually going to be setting on their coupon rates, and then the city has to then cover by paying that higher interest rate over time.
But Bob, you also, I know when Mark and I saw you last week, you also said that premium amount, and I can't remember what it is, I know they revised it. Yeah. If at the end of the day, when we finish construction, if that premium is still unspent, we could use that premium to pay down the cost of the project.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a policy choice.
Exactly.
A future council will have.
Exactly. Okay. I'm just going to give you the options.
Okay. I beat you to
there's basically four options in how you can use the premium.
Okay.
You can set the premium aside to be budgeted as part of overages in a construction cost, if you have.
But there will already be in the construction contract parameters contingencies anyways,
correct?
So you already have that. Hopefully that built into the actual
that's
project.
Correct. Yeah. Or you can use it as a combination of construction overruns and payment of future debt service.
Okay.
Or you can take the whole thing and dedicate that to the repayment of debt service, which then would reduce your overall interest costs that you're going to have to levy in terms of your rates, in terms of your levy amount to pay the debt service. So, and generally you would probably do that in the first year to get that first year reduction. Because otherwise you're just banking that money and holding it for a period of time. Or you could really, since you have to actually set up a reserve for a reserve for the bond debt service in the event that you have a shortage or a default, which isn't normally the case on property taxes. You could actually take that and use that as the reserve amount, and then that would reduce your first year levy, your levy accounts anyhow, as you're trying to build up that reserve. So you have that option. So those are the areas that a future council can make a decision on how they want to use that premium. In the meantime, the premium would just be sitting in an investment account over time until a decision is made how to use it.
So on this issue of this premium, when we had the joyous day of accepting the bid, Peggy did a great job putting out the news release focusing on, yes, we got a bid for our 7.9 million, and guess what? It came in at an anticipated tax rate of 0.42 cents, not 0.45. And then we very much wanted to leave this premium idea as just that, some future consideration, and, you know, not even attempt to try to explain something that complicated, because in a lot of ways it ended up being sort of unanticipated good news that we didn't even know was coming. And you saw the disparity between the 381,000 from one firm, and then the other three were down there in the 100,000 or last 99,000.
So the other three were all under 100,000, and the second highest was at 91, just a hair over 91. I think the fourth one down was around 50,000 in terms of the premium they offered.
Bob, do you right now need any action from the council just to keep it in reserve, or will it just be put in reserve as a matter of course, and then we can make a decision in the future? Or do you need some action right now from the council at some point?
I don't really think we do.
Okay, it's just going to be put aside, and then a future decision will then act upon how to deal.
Once the project is constructed and costs are closed out, at that point, I think that there would be a decision be made with any remaining.
Exactly.
No, I guess I was saying is just to put it aside doesn't require any action on our part. That will happen as a matter of course internally.
Yeah, I would expect that, because what's happening now is that we're placing all that money in the state treasurer's local government investment pool. And we did check around the local banks, and no one can, I mean, the rates are so low anyhow, but the state pool is actually higher yield, so, and we don't have any arbitrage issues on the interest rate, because the current interest rate is so far under the yield, which is something about, I think this is 3.85% on the yield, so we could earn interest up to that point, not arbitrage, and make it taxable. We wouldn't have to pay taxes on it. So, and we're just, it's just going to sit in that pool. It's going to be in an a balance, a reserve account, or unappropriated fund balance account. As long as it's in unappropriated, the ending fund balance, and it's not appropriated, then there's no issues until you decide to do something with it. But in any event, the budget process will make that determination of how to keep these monies separately identified and when to go ahead and budget.
I got a quick question. Maybe you've dealt with this before, Spencer. So we had some folks at our last meeting before talk about, well, what if we come across some money through some grants to help fund the project, which could then offset what we are expecting through property tax revenue. If we, let's say between now and the actual construction or the conclusion of construction, we came across some funds through grants or whatever type of similar process that could offset the cost, how would that impact what you currently would be putting in reserve through the bond scenario? I mean, would it... I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how that would interplay with one another.
Well, I can tell you what we've done in the past. When we bonded, a lot of our combined sewer overflow separation projects, and those bonds are for a very specific purpose, which is to do that project. And typically, what we've done is we've folded those back into the fund reserve. There's any remaining funds left, we folded that back into the fund reserve that pays the debt, which would, in effect, lower the overall costs to the properties, and that's really the safest thing to do with these kinds of funds. And hopefully the bids come in. The design and the bids come in at a point where they're this is a good problem for us to deal with, and it's going to ultimately level out the payment back. And I don't know how you normally set that up as far as from a schedule standpoint, but
you mean the debt service payment,
right?
Yeah, well, we've got a schedule for what the debt service would be on the issue. So, and I agree with exactly what Spencer said in terms of the use of the money, the ultimate impact with the grants would be to potentially reduce the property tax that's assessed against the property owners within the city. So grants are advantageous to that point. The only cautionary thing that I would throw out in terms of grants is that there isn't anything attached to the grants that would cause the city to be placed in a situation where it was facing a tax exempt.
You don't want any private component to this.
Right.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that grants did not have anything that jeopardized the tax exempt status of bonds.
I know. I read that email thread that you had in the council packet from our bond counsel on that issue.
Mm-hmm. That was actually the
On the naming
that,
issue.
That was the. Rating agency Standard and Poor's.
Oh no, there was
did they have that in
yes.
there too?
Yeah,
the attorney from the firm in Portland talked about be careful not to get too much private concerns involved, otherwise you can lose your taxes.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah, right.
That can even happen with the management
tax facility.
Yeah, management aspect too.
Right. So if you contract out the management of the pool, that could threaten your tax exempt status. We have the same situation with our parking structure. And we could have the hospital, which was a 501c3, manage it without impacting the tax exempt status of the bonds. But if we went with a private operation, then that could potentially threaten our tax exempt bonds. Their status.
Exactly.
Right? So.
And of course, the rating, Standard and Poor's, in their letter, they stated that the one thing that they were concerned about was that the when they did the review earlier this fiscal year, and they upgraded the city's bonds from A plus to double A, when they reviewed this one they noted in that September report that they were concerned about the city's projected June 30th 2013 ending fund balance, which was projected at about something like 2.2 or 2.3 million. And in this year's budget, it was down to just slightly above 1.1 million. They expressed concern about that. But then when they came back and did our review here in December, they said that they're going to be looking at that very closely in the future, because if the city does not maintain a proper fund balance in their minds, that the city would be subjected to further review. Okay, if you read between the lines when they say that, then they're saying that if they feel in their mind
the general fund is
the general fund is not maintaining a level that they think it should be in terms of its ending fund balance, they'll downgrade the city's bond.
One of the things we really have to keep in mind with that one, though, is that this year especially, and it's going to carry over into next year because the project's not going to get done, is that money we set aside for the match for the airport the construction. That was a one-time, that took about $500,000. Right. Right there, our ending fund balance would be
greater. Typically, Standards and Poor's will do an interview, and is that what they do here too? They'll talk to the city and ask questions about and those are sorts of things that you need to be sure to point out, during those discussions. So they know this was a planned expenditure, not something that has gone out of control. And but I really do emphasize that the need to keep fund balances sound. To make sure that that's clear what our fund balances are, which is a little bit of a challenge in reviewing the budget for me to figure out. But Standards and Poor's, they look at all that to make a determination of what kind of risk the city is. So
Spencer, Bob's been valuable in our infrastructure task force, and Bob, I think at the meeting on Thursday you were going to bring this very issue to the group's attention as we're making our final recommendations as a task force. So I know you're going to try and make that meeting. Bob's been helpful, and I think you're going to, especially when we're talking about borrowing as part of our options for funding, I think you need to note that, because you brought it up, but what you said is probably something we need to hear as a task force as well, just sure. as part of our recommendation process.
Okay. Now, I think the other thing, and I'm looking forward to spending more quality time with Bob, and he said I can have as much time as I need, and I said, are you sure you mean that? I think, you know, from a budget process standpoint, I think you're going to see some significant differences in the way we proceed with budget. I want to go through and make sure that I properly understand Oregon municipal budgeting law, and I know what's worked well for me in the past, and obviously Bob's got a wealth of experience in that too, and I think we'll be able to put together a process that will really be much clearer and much more helpful, and we'll have some meaningful numbers at the end of the process. But before I get too far on it, I want to make sure I really do understand Oregon municipal budgeting law. So
he's the guy right over here.
Great news.
Do
you
have
time.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
I do, Bob. Now, are you going to tell me when Spencer is signed, what he needs to sign?
I'm going to go check and see if everything's been transmitted yet, or if anything needs to be fixed on the closing documents.
I just have to call FedEx because they need those documents in Portland by Wednesday, and I don't want to forget.
What's the cutoff on the FedEx pickup?
One of those.
I need to schedule it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So even if they came today, I could schedule it today for tomorrow.
Okay. I'll go check everything and see if we've received anything that would finalize.
Well, actually, I need to schedule it today, said in a panic.
And with that, thank you, everyone. Meeting's adjourned. And remember, we come at 5:30 tonight.
What about the discussion during the curbside conference?
That's
David's fault. Is everyone clear on what happened there?
I think that those last that informational email I sent out explained kind of how we.
That's what I thought.
Went through
the
it.
Email
so,
you?
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Yes, and there was a little panic in my office on Friday.
The one.